We are here and just waiting to connect with our guest on the issue of video game violence. A new analysis of 24 studies showing how video games influence aggression in children. Experts still undecided on what real impact playing games has on behavior. There has been a fair amount of debate over the years. A new study, though, examined the results of 24 other studies between 2010 and 2017, including 17,000 participants from the age of 9 to the age of 19. And the team concluded the effects of violent video games extend to meaningful behaviors in the real world. In other words, there was some evidence from the analysis that there was heightened aggressive behavior from those who play video games. Now, video gaming is way different than it was just a few years ago. Even the violent ones. I got to think back. See, my kids were girls, so they didn't play a lot of violent video games. It didn't happen in the house anyways, but, you know, the most violence they got was when Mario jumped on top of Toadstool. That was pretty much it. And they didn't go towards the more violent role-playing games that are out there now. And that's where it becomes somewhat interesting. The findings support the general claim that violent video gameplay is associated with increases in physical aggression over time. We hope these findings will assist the field in moving past the question of whether violent video games increase aggressive behavior and toward the question regarding why, when, and for whom they have such effects. And that for whom part is aimed, I think, more at genders than anything else. The World Health Organization has added gaming disorder to its official list of mental health conditions. To be diagnosed with that, you need to meet three criteria: lose control over your gaming habits, prioritize gaming over other daily activities, and continue playing games despite clear negative consequences. However, experts are undecided on whether or not excessive gaming is a mental health problem in its own right or a symptom of other struggles. So maybe there's some other issue that's causing you to spend a lot of time playing video games. That's kind of interesting. Now, we're very lucky here because here in the region and kind of just outside, we've had for quite some time a director of game studies or game studies at the University of Waterloo. They have a games institute. You can go and see them. We are joined by, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Leonard Nacki. From he is the associate director of, I got to go do your whole title here, Leonard, so just take a seat. Associate professor, the associate director of graduate studies for Stratford campus, and the director of the HCI Games Group at the University of Waterloo Games Institute. That's a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
Now that I'm done, thank you for joining us, and we go back to our other programming. No, this is, you know, for a long time, we've had this discussion about games and does it create violent behavior. This study is saying, well, we've gone past that. Now we need to know the when, why, and who. Let's start off on finding out a little bit about you. Where are you on the question of video game violence?
Yeah, so it's actually quite interesting that I get to speak to you about this because, I want to say that I am not necessarily representing opinions from the Games Institute and that I am not a scholar in the video game violent literature. I study motivation and user experience in video games, and I'm, because of that, familiar with how cognition and emotion affect the experience with video games. And from those angles, I think you can definitely see that there is an influence, a positive influence that we talk about a lot when we study video games. And so whenever these studies come up, I find it quite interesting to look a little bit closer at, you know, what do they actually want to portray? Do they want to portray the content that we consume in these video games, or do they want to portray the, you could say, challenges of play systems, the design of those games, and how that influences and affects us? So in terms of where do I stand that video games, the majority of video games that we play is a positive force in our lives.
So how do they become, let's just talk about that a little bit. How are they a positive influence? Because you obviously know that a lot of people who obviously don't study this and don't have the knowledge that you do, but a lot of people would say, well, there's no way they're positive. So how are they positive?
Yeah, so the interesting thing about video games, if you study it from different angles, is that they can be used as a tool that helps us, helps to motivate us and helps us to overcome certain challenges that we might be struggling with, whether this is a cognitive challenge, something that we have trouble learning or remembering, something that, maybe it's something that we don't like to do and that we kind of try to find a better motivator of doing. And video games can be very positive in conveying that. They can also be very powerful in the way that they help us experience and portray stories. And so, as you might know, stories are a very powerful way of experiencing something. It's a powerful way of experiencing a viewpoint, an opinion of something. It has a very powerful influence on your emotions. And so video games are very good vehicles for portraying some of these stories, much better, in my opinion, than you would have in other media such as books and TV, right? So I think video games are very powerful in making or facilitating some of these experiences that we could have or that we use from traditional media, and they can be used very powerful as tools for learning, for example. So we use them in the classroom quite a bit at the university. We use them with students that have struggled concentrating and other things. So they are, because of their interactivity, they are much more powerful than traditional media for that matter. Yeah.
So when you say that you use games in your teaching, are these games that are specifically designed for educational use, or are they not?
Yeah, so the interesting thing, and this is where it comes to content, and I think that's kind of interesting. If we were to look at, this meta-analysis and the kind of studies that they've looked at, and how there's sometimes a conflation between content of the video game. So, if you have Grand Theft Auto or something, you have sort of a gang content. And if you have a different content where you're, for example, learning about algebra, or you're learning about math and equations, or you're learning about molecules or other things, right? Like, that's just the content of the video game that is portrayed through that video game. But the effectiveness of how we learn that content, I think that's where what we call game mechanics come in. So this is sort of a design standpoint, and how do we shape this interaction that we have with this interactive medium, and how can we make it so that interaction is something where we can actually learn and comprehend something new. So when we design games, and yes, we do design some games for the use in the classroom, we, of course, have that in mind where we're thinking about how can we design those games so that there is an effect that the students can actually learn from some of the topics that we want to portray to them.
Right? So have we created a generation here which learns better through the use of video game or gamification of things? Have we created that generation? And is that a good thing?
That's a very, very good question you're asking. I think it's not so much that we've created that generation. I think every generation creates itself just by the way that, environment and media has an influence on how they're, strategizing and dealing with their own issues and with their growing up and their learning experiences. So I think along those lines, we definitely are looking at a generation today that is thriving on interactivity, that is used to being able to control and actively influence and shape the knowledge and the information that they learn. You can compare it to back in the day where you had a chisel and a hammer or something, and it took you much longer to do something, to create something with stone. And today you got the modern drill, and you got like power tools and things that make that much faster. So I think if you look at it that way, things have just sped up. It's much faster. The access to knowledge and the access to that information is much faster. But there's also this expectancy from younger adults to actually be able to shape and influence that that knowledge that is available to them. So they want faster access, they want better interaction with this, and they want input and feedback to be taken into consideration as they're learning stuff. They don't want to just pick up a static book necessarily, but they want to be able to explore all sides of the spectrum, right? Instead of looking at an image, you want that VR 360 view of that environment. You want to be able to look behind the wall. So I think that's sort of the mindset that we're looking at here.
So, and to me, it kind of harkens back to my day in high school where I learned things way better when I got the chance to do them. Even if it was just a simple science experiment, I learned better when I got the chance to do something, and for these kids today, they're kind of experiencing that in a different way. It's just digitally.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. It's the tools are much more powerful, but it is the same principle still applies, right? Like, we're learning much better in an interactive context, and we're comprehending much better. And I think if you look at this change in youth, then you obviously have to look at that. There is a positive influence, but there's also a positive need for these young people that are engaging with video games to be able to express themselves through that, right? So I think when we're looking, just to tie it back to some of these studies, and again, this is, in my opinion, a little bit possibly hyped meta-analysis here, because again, the discussion, there's always two fields in this. You know, there's the field that says you have to be a little bit careful, and yeah, to an extent, we can see they are very small. You know, essentially what we're looking at here is about 1% of violence in this particular study is explained with the effect that they're looking at. That's 1%. You know, there's so many, there's 99% of other things that are going on here. So it's a very small thing that you're looking at. And so in that regard, I think it's really important to look at, okay, so what are healthy ways of dealing with conflict and emotion? I think that's something that people do with video games in a healthy way, that they channel their emotions through that playing, that it helps them reflect on what they're currently experiencing. So I think, again, there's a lot of positive power, and I think it's a little bit difficult when we find recent studies that are just kind of trying to pick out one thing that, you know, we don't even know if it is an influence or a negative influence, instead of looking at, oh, there's all these other factors that are actually very positive and very helpful that we can find as people are interacting with this engaging media.
And just to tie it back to this study, it of course is talking about the influence of violent video games. Are there those positive influences possible from those violent video games? And if they are, you know, what kind of, you know, restriction is there on that positive influence?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, we have to be very careful what we classify as a violent video game, because again, it's a bit muddled. If you look at it, again, it's a meta-analysis of several studies, and one of the things that popped into my eyes when I was looking at it, sometimes, you know, they're looking at studies that are looking at challenge, studies that are looking at competitive play and aggression. So again, so A, how are we measuring aggression in these studies? Again, a lot of the times it's self-reported aggression. And are we looking at competitive play? So are we actually looking at violent games here? And again, like, what's a violent game? Is a violent game a game that portrays, you know, physical violence? That's kind of, I think, how the majority would say it. They would say, okay, there is a content, you know, I can see blood or something, and that's how we would portray and interpret violent media. However, I don't think all of these studies that were included there are actually looking at these types of games, right? And that's, I think, where it is a little bit difficult to say, okay, this is a finding that applies for anyone here. And that's why it's important to have that differentiation. So if you're asking me, is there a positive effect from these violent games, then I would counter with most of the games that we end up seeing people play are not violent games. It's a small percentage of these games. And then again, has anyone actually studied these particular violent games and this particular influence of, is it the content that's produced? Is it the narrative? Is it, like, what are the factors that are actually influencing any sort of more aggressive behavior? And again, we're just looking at, okay, somebody reports, okay, I feel more aggressive. Again, it's a self-report. It doesn't actually mean that person is more aggressive at that point. So, and it doesn't actually tie into real-world links of somebody even becoming violent. So again, the literature on that, at least from my purview, is just not clear enough that there is actually a person that ends up doing something in that regard. So can we learn something from the positivity of video games? Absolutely. Do parents still have to exercise their own rationale? Absolutely, because everyone knows their child best. They know, you know, what content and what types of interaction their kids enjoy. So should researchers be doing parental decisions? I don't think so. Absolutely not. But I think there is just a sort of awareness that you need to have, instead of coming and saying, oh, you know, like, video games are flat out bad. There's always a risk attached to that. That's absolutely not the case. I think you have to differentiate and say, you know, there might be something where you have to exercise common sense. If somebody ends up, you know, sitting in the room and playing Grand Theft Auto all day, probably you should be rethinking that parenting model, right? Like, that's something where, again, you have to exercise some caution. That's any sort of media, whether you sit down and you spend a whole afternoon just exposing yourself to one particular aspect. It can be risky, of course, right? But is there something that can be learned if your son sits down and plays the entire afternoon a folder? Absolutely. Can they maybe even solve molecular problems that can help the fighting of cancer? Absolutely. That's stuff that can also come from these video games. So should you inform yourself and make a very informed, positive choice of video games? Absolutely, you should.
So content's important, and limiting screen time doesn't seem like a bad idea. To make it really simple, right?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, good afternoon. That's Leonard Nock, Associate Professor and Director of the HCI Games Group at the University of Waterloo's Games Institute. He did, of course, make it clear he was not speaking purely on behalf of the University of Waterloo's Games Institute, his own personal opinion. I don't know. Well, I do. Actually, you know what? Content's king. Content's king on everything. However, I have often said that if we are all heavily influenced by the media, we would all have our own television talk shows because they're out there all over the place. Maybe we'd all want to do that. But yeah, I do. I do think that he's got a great point. And monitor our own kids. Keep an eye on them. If you are sitting in your room playing, you know, Grand Theft Auto for 23 hours a day, there's an issue. And the issue may be not you playing the video games. It may be the issue of why you're playing the video games. Happy, of course, to take your calls. It is Free Phones Friday coming up. If you're really wound up, you can go early. I won't hold anything against you for that. But Free Phones Friday officially starts at 2 o'clock. Everything is open, all kinds of stuff to talk about. But mostly, it's up to you. I'd like to hear from you. We're going to take a break. Be back in just a minute. This is Kitchener Today on 570 News.